prayer this morning. Amen. 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 Are the Wingates with two babies or one back there? Huh? Two? Oh, just one. All right. All right. I need to prepare the church that Sister Candace and Deshaun, as you know, had Marlon a couple of months ago, and they are going to become foster parents of another baby. Amen. Sometime soon. So you talking about somebody that needs some prayer. Amen. Amen. We need to pray for them. I think it's a beautiful, really a beautiful act of love on their part to take in a little girl. So in a matter of months, they're going to be parents of two babies. I think both 2 months old. 5 days old is the second one, and 2 months, Marlon. So, you know, our two. Amen. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Caleb and Victoria. Amen. Y'all need to sing that again. Yeah. Amen. Our two oldest children, as you know, Caleb and Victoria, are 15 months apart. And that was the hardest time in our marriage and in life, because when you're exhausted, you just can't enjoy nothing. Amen. And so I said, Candace, when she told me, I said, you know, I hope y'all ready. Amen. And I had to text her and say, what a blessing. My wife says it's actually going to be easier for them than us, because it's like having twins. 15 months, one was up, one was down. One was at one stage, and one was at the other stage. Actually, your babies will be at the same stage at the same time. And so God will give both of you what you need. But children are a gift from God. And so let's give God praise, you know, for them. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we do give you thanks for the gift of children, God. And no matter how much work we put into them, you as our Heavenly Father put so much more into us. No matter what we give them, we could never give them what you gave us, which was your very life. And so, God, we celebrate life today and celebrate who you are and who we are in you. We pray for parents that they will do their godly duty and introduce their children to you. God, I pray that you would be with us as we open up your word and remove anything in our hearts and minds that might hinder us from hearing what you are saying to us today. Forgive me and everyone under the sound of my voice of all of our sins, Lord. And will you make this moment sacred indeed? Be with us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just celebrate God once again? Amen. Amen. This is not my message, but, you know, Yoshika and Huckleberry, Carol Huckabee, you know what I'm getting ready to say, right? As we celebrate those Patriots, here we go again. That's another reason to pray. Amen. Amen. You guys just Google the Patriots. You'll know what I'm talking about. Lord have mercy. all right, all right. You know. Please stand and join me in reading the text this morning. Carol gonna have some words for me on the way out of the door, but it's true. all right. I'm just gonna read one verse today from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives, do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You may be seated. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we look around the world today, you will really find overwhelming evidence that we have many reasons to be troubled and afraid. Just look at the nuclear weapons that we have become accustomed to on our planet. I don't want to scare you, but they are so powerful that they could cause a catastrophic damage to mankind. And yet we have countries right now that are facing a nuclear arsenal right at us today. And we are facing a nuclear arsenal at them. We have become accustomed to the devastation that is one fingertip away, one pressing of a button, one giving of an order, and mankind and human race could be different forevermore. Are there reasons for us to be troubled this morning? Think about the nuclear arms race of Russia and America, and now crazy Kim Jong-un of North Korea trying to get in the game, and Iran is trying to get in the game, and Syria is trying to get in the nuclear game. When the text tells us don't be troubled and don't be afraid, as we look around the world, there's many reasons to be troubled. I studied in this preparation talking about evidence that there are reasons for us to be troubled. Don't you know in America that there are over 300 million people in populations, but yet in America, for every person in America, there are 300 million guns. There's almost one gun for every American. We're talking about reasons to be troubled this morning. Some folks are stockpiling weapons because they believe that there's going to be a race riot. Others believe that the government are going to overstep their bounds. And as much as I love Florida, Deacon Myatt, I don't know if I could live there, because when I travel there, I found that it's one of the most gated communities that I have ever seen. There are gates everywhere. You can't just walk up in somebody's place. You got to go through security. You got to get through some folk through the gate. And on top of the gates, they got guns up in that place. Come on, somebody. It's not that they can shoot you because you're trying to shoot them. If they think you are a threat, you're talking about reasons to be afraid. Anybody afraid this morning? I know y'all gonna say you're not, but that's not true. We look around the world and people are fearful, and fear is playing a part in our politics. As we look at the immigration debate, while I believe in border security and I'm against illegal immigration, I support the border security, but the wall is symbolic of our fears. Not all immigrants are gang members and murderers and rapists. Somebody said an evil conscience is filled with fear. Anybody ever stole something in here? Anybody ever stole? Now, y'all just not telling the truth. I remember as a child walking out of the store with some candy in my pocket. I know I'm the only one that ever took candy, but I'm sorry, I'm confessing. I stole some candy, and I was so scared. Come on. And I had reason to, because the candy fell through my leg. But when we've done wrong, we are fearful.
Yeah.
When you're speeding, you're not in peace. You looking for the popo. When we've done wrong, we are fearful. What keeps you up at night? Is it an unexpected pregnancy? Some folks have dealt with that. Should I tell my parents? Should I keep the baby? Is it an addiction you can't kick? Is it a loss of a job and financial security? Is it the death of a loved one? Now you're fearful of living without them? Is it divorce? And how do I move forward when my family's been shattered? Is it a broken relationship, a wayward child, a fear of failure, fear of what other folks think? What makes you fearful? Is it fear of the future? Fear of the present? Fear of getting old? That's a real thing. Come on, somebody. I tell God, I don't want to lose my mind. Y'all act like that. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Are you fearful of dying? Jesus says, my peace I give you. Jesus came to give you his peace. It's not all about what we can lock out. It's not all about building bigger gates. It's about letting him in. I remember Caleb and Victoria used to fight at the table. And you know, after a long day, you don't want to hear that. And so I had a saying, peace. And they knew if peace didn't happen, something else was going to happen. But when Camille was less than two, when they would begin to fight in her high chair, she would hear the chaos and she would say, peace. Anybody need some peace this morning? How many nights have you stayed up worrying, anxious, fearful? God's peace is not like the world, he says. He says, my peace is different from that which the world can give. The world's peace comes from having bigger arms than the other country. The world's peace comes from having Uzis and military-grade weapons. The world peace comes from putting some folk in prison that we're scared of. You know, the world peace comes, and I don't know, you know, some folks think we're the boogeyman. You know, every time somebody of color come around, it conjures up fear. They made us the boogeyman. We're fearful in their dreams that we're going to do some things that we're not human, we're not lovable. That's not what God wants of us. Somebody said, and I think Maya just used this example as well, God's peace is that picture of that bird in the cleft of a rock, a whistling. He's not whistling because things are calm. He's whistling in the midst of a storm. God's peace is not the absence of a battle. It's not the absence of chaos. It's not the absence of trouble. It is God's peace in the midst of it all. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need peace. John 14 is really an interesting display of God saying he's going to give us peace. Because in John 13, he is introducing trouble. He says in John 13, 1, in John 13, he's saying that he is getting ready to leave this world. In John 13, it says, it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and go to the Father. And then on top of that, he had been walking with them. He's saying, I need to get up out of here. That's trouble and fear in their hearts. And then he says, I've been walking with y'all for some time now, and one of you is going to betray me. And so this was not a text in 14 where the disciples were not troubled. And so really the interpretations of John 14, 1 is don't let your hearts be troubled any longer. Yes. Because he knew that they were fearful and and troubled by him leaving and them not understanding why he had to go and where he was going. And then he also knew they were troubled, but they had a Judas in their midst. And he's saying in John 14 that we preach in funerals, don't let your hearts be troubled any longer. He says, my peace I give you. The Catholic Church calls what we call koinonia the passing of the peace when they shake hands. But, you know, we can't get the kind of peace that I'm talking about. Because Jesus's peace, he says, is not like the world. It's not the absence of your troubles. It's not the absence of your trials. It's not the absence of your struggle. It is God in the midst of it all. How do we get this peace? Somebody say, I need some peace. How do we get this peace so you don't have to drink to go to sleep? So you don't have to take no dose. So you don't have to do whatever you're doing trying to get some peace at night. First thing we need to understand, if you're going to get this peace that Jesus is promising us, is that you must pray and believe in faith that when you pray, God not only answers, but God gives you what you need. In John 14, 12, Jesus says, verily, verily, I tell you, whatever you believe, whoever believes in me, 14:12, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, here's 13, talking about prayer. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, and you may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. Thank you. I will do it. So if you want to have peace, you got to believe and pray in faith. Yes, yes. There's a difference between praying and praying and believing in faith. One of my professors says, when you say God, that's a prayer, because you're believing that he is. Everything you need, every protection that you need, every provision that you need, when you go to God, you must believe and say, Jesus, I need you every day and every hour. My brothers and sisters, if you are going to have peace in this world, you need to stay on your knees before God. You need to stay on your knees and not only just pray, you got to believe. The Bible tells us, whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified. You may ask anything, and I will do it. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean because you want a, what's that car that the doors go up? Hmm? I knew he would know. A Tesla. Tesla. Yeah, that car. It looks like a Batmobile. It's battery electric operated, and it costs a crazy amount of money. It doesn't mean that when you leave here, Pastor said I can get a Tesla in Jesus' name, because this text is really about relationship with God. If you want peace. And prayer is just one of those ways where we have a relationship with God. What is the point? When you have a relationship with God, it's not all about what you want. It's really about what God wants. Now, God may want you to have a Tesla, but he may not. And so when we pray, James says we have not because we ask amiss. That means we're not asking in his will. But when we pray and ask in his will, in Jesus' name, the Bible says we will have what we ask for. Amen. So my brothers and sisters, if you want peace this morning, you got to pray and believe in faith that God will hear and answer your prayer. Anybody here has a testimony that God has answered their prayer? Amen. I'm a witness that God will make a way out of no way if you believe and ask in faith. Not only do we achieve peace by believing and asking and praying, but the next thing that you need if you're going to have this peace that God gives, that Jesus has bequeathed to us as his legacy, what he's going to leave us, because that's what this is. This is his final word. So he's saying, this is my legacy and my gift to you, that I'm going to leave you peace. If you'll pray in faith and believe in my name, you shall have what you ask for. And so the next thing you need is not only prayer, but you need presence. You see, what gives us peace is not only that we pray and believe that God is. What gives us peace is to know that his presence is with us. And so God, Jesus says, my legacy is peace, but you got to pray. But when I go, don't be afraid, because I'm sending you a Holy Ghost, an advocate, to be with you. I don't know about you, but I remember putting on my lawyer hat. I remember having a trial and it was overwhelming, and I woke up and said, I'm getting ready to lose this thing, and I know it's going to be in the papers and all of that. And I woke up and there was such a presence that even though I won, it didn't matter, because I think I preached this some time ago. It was a millionaire's attitude. Because millionaires don't worry about one failure, because they got enough money in the bank to get through it. Amen. Come on, somebody. There was such a wealth of God's presence in me that I knew that even if things didn't turn out, I was going to be all right. You see, God's presence will give you peace. Even in the midst of your storm, because God is saying, I will be, come on, somebody, with you. So, excuse me, John 14, verse 15, talking about the presence that gives you peace. If you love me, keep my commandments. Somebody said we love some Lord, but we ain't gonna do nothing that he asks us to do. God says, if you love me, you will obey me. And then he says, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. I don't understand it, but we still got too many Christians trying to do life alone. You act like God is not with you. And so you're doing everything to get peace, but it's world peace. Yes. Yeah. What you need for godly peace is to keep his commandments and then believe that you have in you an advocate and some help. So tell somebody, I got some help. And Jesus says that this help will be with you forever. You know, I sometimes wish I would have met Jesus and walk with him. But the truth be told, that we're better off now than they were when he was here. Why? Because Jesus couldn't be everywhere. But he left the Holy Ghost, who can be with you and me and over in Europe and in Africa, everywhere. Verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. This text is about relationship with God. If you're going to have peace, you got to pray to have a relationship with God, and you've got to invite the Holy Spirit through obedience to be in your life. But you know him, for he lives with you. Come on, somebody. And will be in you. Somebody say, I got God in me. I will not leave you. Thank you, Lord. As orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Don't you know you got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in you? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. You know how you can show your love for God? Do what he's telling you to do. Yeah. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Go down to 23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings, and my Father will love them, and we shall come to them and make our home with them. There are people, Unitarians and Jehovah's Witness, and they mock the Trinity idea that we worship three gods, and there is no evidence of the Trinity. But if you look at John 14 and other places, you surely see the Trinity at work. You see God the Father who sent Jesus, and Jesus says, me and the Father, we're one. And you see Jesus preparing for his departure and says, when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And so when we think about the Trinity, we see God who loved us. And so he sent Jesus as his sacrifice to die for us. And then we have the Holy Ghost who dwells in us and empowers us to be like Christ. That's the Trinity. It's not made up. It is biblical. Not only do we need to have peace, to believe and pray, and believe that when we ask, God will give us what we ask for. Whatever you have need of, God will provide. Yeah. But we also need peace that comes from the presence of his Spirit. His Spirit will be with us and dwell and take up residence in a home in our lives. And lastly, if you're going to have peace, you must remember his promises. Verses 25 says, all this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and underline this, and remind you of everything I have said to you. I can't emphasize this enough. Is that you'll never have peace for today's trouble if you forget the God who walked and talked and died and rose up for you in the past. I can't emphasize this and this enough. Every time the Israelites got to one trial, they acted as though God had never done anything for them in the past, and they got afraid and troubled. That's just like some of us. You wouldn't be here right now if God had not saved your life, if God had not saved you when you were driving drunk, if God had not delivered you from some past addiction, if God had not done what he's done for you, and yet when you are here today, you act like God hadn't done what he's done. You need to remember, somebody say remember, what God has done. You need to remember who God is. You need to remember that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you want to have peace, quit having a short memory. And you need to pray, Holy Ghost, help me remember that my forefathers came over here on a slave ship. Help me remember 200 years of slavery. Help me remember lynching and whipping. Help me remember that we didn't have a, my mama used to have a saying I won't say. It deals with a pot. Amen. Some of y'all from the South know what they used to say. But we need to remember, God has been good. We need to remember that even though Christ died and suffered, he was whipped early on the third day. He got up with all power in his hands. My brothers and sisters, there's an old song that we used to sing, Trouble in My Way. I have to cry sometime. Trouble in my way. I have to cry sometime. Anybody ever been there? I lay awake at night, but that's all right. Jesus will fix it after a while. Come on, let's sing that today. Get up on your feet and give your troubles to Jesus. Let's give God some praise as we come.
Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
I have to cry sometimes.
I have to try sometimes.
Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
I have to cry sometimes.
I have to try sometimes.
Awake at night. Awake at night. Well, that's all right.
That's all right.
Oh, Jesus will fix. After a while, trouble in my way,
I have to cry sometimes,
trouble in my way.